though some people may believe it, you need to know that popularity, though it may be good in some fashions if you're running for an election, but popularity, I'm telling you right now, it's not the way. A huge checking account or a savings account, man, that might be pretty nice to help you get through this life financially, but I still want to share with you, that is still not the way. Illegal or recreational drugs. A lot of people, sadly, are caught up in those things. It's sad as it is, but I still need to submit to you today that that is not the way. I'll tell you today that a higher education, it's good to have. It is good so that you can take the things that you learn and teach other individuals as well. But even with that, that is still not the way. I want you to know today that Facebook, this thing that so many people are caught up in today, it is not the way. I want you to know today, Brother Larry, that electronics, though they are very, very necessary and we enjoy the conveniences of these things, it is not the way. We need to know today that fornication and homosexuality, it is not the way. These things are not being preached about anymore. Very, very seldom do you hear these ministers talk about those in fear that someone may be offended. Brothers and sisters, I submit to you today that it is time that people are offended in the gospel. Do you get that? Because when someone is offended in the gospel, that means they are being corrected by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let me tell you today, brothers and sisters, these things, it's not the way. Cursing and swearing is not the way. Sex before marriage is not the way. Sex on the outside of marriage, it is not the way. Improper use of alcohol, brothers and sisters, it is not the way. Neglecting your salvation, brothers and sisters, it is not the way. Fighting, feuding, and arguing among the brethren, what kind of stuff is that? But we're seeing it take place all throughout the brotherhood, brothers and sisters, and that is sad. It is not the way. I tell you what the way is, and I found it in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus Christ is the way. Amen? I am the way, the truth, and the, and no man comes to the Father except through me. So I want us all today to take a look at a lesson from God's Word. And the title of our lesson today is Jesus is the, and thank you, Teresa, Jesus is the only way. I want you to say that with me. Ready? Jesus is the only way. So friends, listen, that is a promise that we have from Jesus himself. He is the way to everything good. He is the way to a life with peace, a life with security, a life with hope. All the things that you and I as a child of God should long for and hope for and things that we desire in this life, Jesus Christ is the way unto those things. So I wanted to make sure that we today take a look at a lesson from his word showing why and how Jesus is the absolute only way, period. Amen. So the first point I want us to examine this morning as we talk about Jesus being the absolute only way, this is going to seem a little bit elementary to you, but I think it's high time that we represent this because even though it's going to be first principles, if I may, you and I are very familiar, for those of us that are Christians, we're very familiar with the first principles, but what about the one that has just joined the Lord's church, being added to the body by Christ himself? What about the one that is considering becoming a child of the Most High God? I believe it's high time that we remind everybody that Jesus is the only way. So how does a person do that? How, if I walked in the door today and I wasn't a child of God, I would hope, Amy, that the preacher would tell me or somebody would share with me, how is it that I, Teresa, become a preacher? Sis, how do I do just that? Or how do I get there? How do I become an elder? How do I become a deacon? How do I become a song leader? How do I do these things? How do I become a Christian? Are we getting this? Because Jesus is the only way. He is the way. Listen, your first point is this. Jesus is the way unto our salvation. Anybody oppose that? All right. So he is our way unto salvation. I feel very confident that you have heard that biblical truth many, many times in regards to Jesus being the only way unto salvation. Having your Bibles with you or however you're following along, in the book of Acts chapter 4, we're going to read together verses 10 and 12, 10 through 12. Acts chapter 4, 10 through 12, the Bible says, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you." And one translation says complete. New King James says whole. "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become," I love this, "the what? Chief cornerstone. Nor," watch this, "nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved." If you believe any part of the Bible, if you believe that alone, then you know now, according to the scriptures, Brother Bobby, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you and I can be saved. Thank God we have Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Father above, for sending your Son from the beauty, the comfort, and the splendor of heaven to save a worm like me, to save a sinner like me from going to that ever place of destruction that you and I and the Bible describes as hell. So I'm so thankful today that God loves us that much. I'm reminded again back in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father." Be not forgetful, 1 John chapter 1 down in verse 7. 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, does what? Cleanses us from," put a harder emphasis, "all of our sins." Thank you, congregation. So once again, it's by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of who? The blood of Christ. Brother Larry brought that passage out to us just a few moments ago in Romans 5:8-11. Then he had us to repeat verse 8. So let's do it again. How does the Bible say it in Romans 5:8? "But God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners..." Very good. So let's also be sure that we look at John chapter 10. In the book of John chapter 10, if you drop down to around verse 9, the Bible says, "I am the..." Now, who said that? Jesus Christ said that. If Jesus, Darlene, is telling us that he is the door, then that's the door I'm going to go through. Amen? "I am the door." And the Bible says, "If anyone enters by me," Jesus, "he will be" what? "And," watch this, "and will go in and out, and he's going to find pasture." That means that you're going to find life, is what this is referring to. You will have a life of abundance. You will have a life, and I'm talking about spiritual abundance. I'm talking about enjoying the spiritual liberties that God affords to his people. Matthew chapter 1, back in verse 21, the Bible tells us, "And she will bring forth the son. You'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their" what? "From their sin." Who's his people today? You and me. Who's his people today? Those that's been added to the body of Christ. That's us, isn't it? So shouldn't we, since we, for those of us that are Christians, shouldn't we be sharing that with everybody that we can? Shouldn't we be evangelizing? It is a sad, disgusting thing to see what is going on in our community today. I looked at about the other day, and I was thinking about the number of congregations that are no longer in existence. I think about Wingate. At one time, even just a few years ago, with over 400 members, active members, I'm talking about a congregation that was booming, that the building was just so. I think about Radnor Church of Christ, where Brother Jerry Maxwell preaches, super good people in there. That congregation held, what, 400 or 500 people? And these two congregations merged, and even after merging, there's 70 individuals. I think about Rains Avenue Church of Christ, and I think about all the time that went into that congregation, all the work that was involved in that for the cause of Christ. And then I started noticing people dropping, and then now Rains Avenue is a salvage building. So it's a sad, disgusting shame that we're seeing all of these things take place. We're seeing that the Lord's church, the churches that Christ Jesus died for, the one he says, you know, "Upon this rock I will build, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not" what? But yet we got people that's tearing down the body of Christ. You know why? I don't think it's ill intent. I don't. I think it's because people have tried to figure out another way to get to heaven. I think people think that they can perform a multitude of good deeds. I think, and this is just my observation, I can't judge, but I believe and I'm convinced that people think they can just live any old slothful life they want to do. God will accept it, and that everything's going to be all right. God is going to tell us. He has told us, just like the church at Laodicea. How was the church at Laodicea? They were what? Lukewarm. What did the Lord say about that? He said, well, it'll be all right. There's a few good ones and a few bad ones in it. No. He said, I'll shut you down, didn't he? And I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. But he says, I'll remove that one. I will take that and I will close you down. I'll send you a sign. Federal Express, you out of business. He says, I will spew you what? Out of my mouth. That means I'll reject you. You know how we get there? By thinking that we can do it on our own. By thinking that the church belongs to us. By thinking that we can just do any way we want to do. Live any way that we want to live. Just say anything that wants to come out of our mouth. Act any way we want. React to any way that we want to do. And that, as my sister would say, everything will be okay. No, it won't. We better remember it's not my way, it's not your way, it's God's way. Amen. And until we get back to that, until we focus upon Jesus Christ and His way and how He wants it done, then we're going to continue to see declining numbers throughout the brotherhood. Wake up, congregation, all of us, me included. It is time for us to tell people about Jesus. Amen. It is time for us, for you and me together, to say, hey, this is Jesus. He's not just sending you to hell. It's not just a I can't do and I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do this and I can't do that as a Christian. Look what you can do as a Christian. Amen? I have the avenue of prayer because I'm a Christian. John 9:31. Now we know that God does not hear, but if it is a worship of God does His will, He hears them. Say that with me. He hears them. So now I've got the avenue of prayer. Luke 18:1, man ought always to pray and not lose heart. First Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. We have a plethora of things throughout the Bible that shows us about prayer. We better get back to it, brothers and sisters. We better get back to understand that it is Jesus and it is His way, and there is no other way. Are we together with that? So let's be certain we understand what we must do to get right with Jesus Christ. To get into His church, to be added to the body of believers. Let me be very clear. I might be a little redundant here in saying this, but there are so many people in the religious world today that vote you into the church. Do you understand that? There are some today, and some of our friends in the denominational sense may, you know, a person responds to the invitation and they come forth, and then there's some fellow up here that talks about it, or somebody talks about it, and they say, you know, Aunt Myrtle Dean has come forth to try to do this, and does everybody think it'll be all right? And they raise their hand. Who are we to raise our hand about somebody joining the Lord's church or being added? You don't have that authority. I don't have that authority. Amen. The Bible says in Acts 2:47, having favor with all of the people. Anybody know what the next part is? The Lord adds to the church daily those that are being, bingo. Probably shouldn't use the word bingo in church. All right, so bingo, you nailed it. So I don't have that right, neither do you. We don't have that right. Now, we do have a right to be fruit inspectors. We do have a right to be our brother's keeper because the Lord tells us that we're our brother's keeper. And we are to guide and to help, but we are to and to nurture. But we are to do that in love, amen? Not beating me as your preacher with a 2x4 and me beating you with a 2x6. That's not what it's about. It's about getting to heaven together. Sharing Jesus Christ with all that we can. How do we do that? I'm telling you right now, we do it by closing our pie holes and listening a little bit better. Does that sound any better? Does that sound all right? If I don't grow in my faith, I'm not pleasing God. Does anybody get that? Now, Hebrews 11, verse 6 talks about that too, that we've got to have that faith. How do I get there? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by and hearing by. So we don't need to hear how good I sing or how bad I sing. You don't need to hear about this. Don't need to hear about that. What you need to hear about in regards to your soul is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing added to it. Nothing taken away from it. You don't need to hear about where I went to school. You don't need to know about where necessarily what kind of socks I wear. What you need and what kind of food I eat. Do I eat chicken or not eat chicken? Why am I allergic to watermelon and you're not? I don't care. What I'm cares about is your soul and my soul getting to heaven. That's my desire as a child of the Most High God. I have a burning desire to go to heaven, worse than anything and all I can even think about, and take as many people as I can with me, including my enemies. Amen? All right. So, how do we hear God's word? Gather together. Quit forsaking the assembly. We must also not only hear it, but we've also got to believe what we're hearing from the word of God. Not the person, not the individual, but what that individual is presenting to you from the oracles of God. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Watch this. And he said to them, go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go 16. He who believes and is shall be, but he who believes not shall be. All right. Why then do we have so many people, some in my own family, that doesn't believe, they do not believe that water baptism is necessary for salvation? Jesus told Nicodemus over in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, do not marvel, don't be amazed, don't get knocked out. Did I tell you that you must be born again? Y'all remember that? And he says, how can I be, can a man enter into his mother's womb and be born? He said, no, you got to be born with the water and the Spirit. Is that not what he told him? And then we have it here as well. Acts 2, 38, same thing. So we are to be baptized. Every single act of conversion recorded in the New Testament, listen to me, every single act, and I use that word act because I want you to understand what I'm saying, every piece of conversion that we can witness in the New Testament, baptism was involved. Amen? So if all of these examples of salvation was showing me that baptism was involved in that, let's use some good grammar. I ain't leaving none of that out. Amen? None. Ain't leaving now drop of it out. Be baptized. What else is it we've got to do? And I mean, we got to do it. We must do this. Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell you nay, but unless you repent, you will all likewise. Whoo, that repentance is hard. Anybody besides your preacher struggle with that? All right, with two of us and the rest of y'all lying, so you better repent of that. Every one of us, in one way or another, we have struggles, don't we? We've got difficulties. I'm not going to judge you, but I feel pretty confident that each one of us has a skeleton in a closet somewhere. Maybe it's the use of bad language sometimes. Maybe it's being high-tempered. Maybe you view things that you shouldn't view. Maybe you engage yourself in things that you shouldn't. Perhaps you frequent places that we shouldn't. There's a plethora of things that we could cover, things that we're not happy about, perhaps habits that we have. All you're doing is acting like the Apostle Paul. We all are. The Apostle Paul went to Jesus, had a thorn in his side. I'm convinced it wasn't a thorn from a rose bush. But he went to the Lord and said, hey, look, Jesus, I've got a little problem. And Jesus said, all right, Paul, what's up? And he said, I got a thorn in my side. Would you take it out? He went to Jesus how many times? Come on, congregation. Three. All right, so he went to Jesus three times. And what was Jesus' answer? Two letters. No, that's what he said. My what? Go, Harvey. My grace is sufficient. So, Amy, what he was saying to Paul is, quit depending on yourself. Don't look at this problem that you have. Don't look at this defect in your life. Don't let that detour you. Keep your eyes on me. That's what Jesus is saying. Amen? Keep your reliance on me. Do not let the devil detour you and take you off of the track. He'll do it. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he's walking about like a what? Roaring lion. What's he doing? Seeking whom he may. Now, the Bible didn't say that he would nip on. He said devour. So, make sure that we're willing and changing our life. That repentance, does it happen overnight? Thank goodness, because I was hellbound if it was, because it's been a lifelong struggle for me. I've said it before. I know I'm not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Amen. So we got to do that. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Also, upon that repentance, we've also got to make sure we're confessing. And confessing doesn't mean like some of our friends in the Catholicism, the arena of Catholicism, where you come up and sit down and tell me every sin. And I say, okay, if you committed this sin, I forgot exactly how that works. They'd say something about go clean up the Grand Ole Opry and go and sin no more. If I was a priest, here's what I would say. I would say, slide me $40 and a pack of peanut butter cookies and go and sin no more. It don't work. It don't work that way, does it? That ain't what this confession is about. This confession is about Matthew 10, 32. Whoever confesses me before men, Jesus says, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But then, brothers and sisters, He sure cleans that up. Not that it's dirty, but he tightens us up. He said, but whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father in heaven. That's just not a verbal utterance. That's denying Christ by the life you live, isn't it? We confess Christ every day. We really do. We confess him when we are doing what he's calling us to do, when we're living a life of Jesus Christ, when we're doing Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven. When we're doing that, we're confessing Christ. But when we are going against the scripture, when we're not listening to the oracles of God, when we are forsaking our prayers and we're forsaking the assembly and we're forsaking our time with God and we're neglecting our families and we're doing all this kind of stuff, guess what? You are not confessing God. You are joining hands with the world. Amen? 1 John 2:15-17 tells you, the world's passing away in the lust of it. But if you'll do the will of the Father, you'll live forever. Is that about right? All right. Make sure we can make that confession. Also, we know about the baptism, Acts 2:38, and he said to them all, let every one of you repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the, next word, gift. Thank you. Gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, what in the world does that mean? You can't earn it. You can't buy it. Popularity ain't gonna get it. Now, remember what I started our lesson out with? This isn't the answer. This isn't the answer. This isn't the answer. This isn't the answer. But Jesus is. Y'all remember that? So it doesn't matter how much money you have or popularity you have or big house or little house, nice car, not so nice, pretty, not so pretty, big, not so big. Y'all getting the picture? It all boils back down to doing what Jesus is telling us to do. Listen, he said to every one of them, repent and be baptized, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you're not going to be able to earn it. Amen. Amen. All right, so make sure we do that, and you'll receive the gift. 1 Peter 3:21, we understand this. There is also an antitype which now saves us, namely baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of, very good, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are also to remain faithful. Not faithful to this old world full of sin and strife and sadness, but faithful in our walk of righteousness, living a righteous life in the presence of God. We are to remain faithful unto death, according to Revelation 2:10. Amen. Be faithful unto or into our death. Faithful in what? Faithful in your studies. Faithful in your benevolence, whether it's spiritual benevolence or helping somebody out. Being very faithful in your prayer life with Jesus Christ. Don't just go to the Lord in prayer when something's going bad, but go to the Lord in prayer all the time. Amen? Make sure that we're faithful in our attendance, in our assemblies together. You know, speaking as a minister for 31 years and talking to a lot of other preachers, the preacher's biggest problems that they have in the congregations they serve is people neglecting their attendance. And I say it over and over and over, enough that I drive people crazy, which I have a tendency to do that anyway, so that's beside the point. But the reason that you hear these preachers continue on about attendance is that is probably one of the biggest things that's causing failure throughout the body of Christ. When you are not here, listen, you are weakening the effects of the congregation. Do you get that? I got two dozed all the way out. Wake up. All right, here we go. Good. Now, when you miss the congregation, and there's reasons. Don't go up here getting, I don't like that preacher. Did you hear what he said? Well, that's fine. Whatever. When we miss the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, Hebrews 10:25, we are weakening our effect. You may not realize the effect that you're having on other people, but when you're out, it bothers me. Because I began to wonder, as a minister, did I say something? Have I preached something wrong? Have we offended him? Have we offended her? What are we doing? What's happening? Or do I have a brother or sister that's walking off and erring from God? It's one or two, isn't it? Yes, people have to work. Yes, we've got things that we have to do. I don't want the ambulance drivers that are driving right now, ambulances and police and fire, I don't want them to stop and say, okay, well, it's 10 o'clock. Jerry's going to start preaching. Because there are people that need an ambulance. There's people that need fire. I get that. But when we put the picnic in front of the church and assembling, when we put this softball game over here in front of the church, when I put a little family deal in front of the church, I'm not judging. I've been guilty of that, but I ain't guilty now. So I'm going to talk about it a little bit more, okay? When we put other things before the church, quit being so selfish. You have to understand it has a weakening influence on other people because, and today people make every excuse under the sun why they're not here. Here's the biggest thing that kills me, and I've said it before. Please let me get this off my chest so I'll stay in a better mood this evening. When I am as a minister and in this congregation, 613 James Avenue, blessed, but I love it. And you look around, you think, well, where is Sister So-and-so? Where is Brother So-and-so? Oh, he can't make it today. This happened within the last 3 weeks, and I'm being very serious. I was wondering what was going on with a particular individual in our congregation. What in the world has happened? I don't understand this. Well, I know there's been some difficulties, et cetera, et cetera. I pulled out of our parking lot. I'm not even going to point in directions. And I was leaving, going to a place. I was in my personal vehicle with my family. And as I drove by the house, the person that could not be at the worship services, and I'm not calling names, don't get all messed up with it, was out watering the lawn and seemed like I slowed way down and just kind of watched for a moment and watering the grass, moving stuff around, bending over, picking things up. And I'm not being critical. I'm just confused. Is that fair? I'm confused. I can't make it through that door to come into the building and sit down and worship Almighty God who gave His Son for me, who gave His own life for me because Jesus is God in the flesh. He gave His own Son for me. I can water my grass. I can take care of those things. I can't come to service. And then I had another one that I shared with you about. Could not make it here, period. And I went to Dalt's Restaurants in Bellevue. And lo and behold, couldn't make the church because I'm so sick. And guess who was sitting in a booth? Now, y'all know me. I ain't got the best bedside manner. Y'all think I said something? Oh, yeah. Hey, good to see you. Let me have a little piece of cornbread. Couldn't get to church today, I noticed, but you sure got in here, didn't you? Good to see you. Face blood red. I'm over there enjoying my meal. That individual hates me to this day. The reality is this. Quit putting everything else before God in assembly, okay? Amen. People, what is going on in the church today? Wonder what's happening at James Avenue. Why are they doing this or not doing that? Why don't you join us? Why don't you come and help us in the things that you see that we need help in? Quit putting every single thing before the assembly. We can go to events if they're feeding us. We can go to all these different things if it benefits us. But when it comes to Lord Church,
I just don't feel good. I'm just not doing as well as I could.
Oh, you're not. Okay. But yet you can go to the races in Joelton. You can go to the state fair in Wilson County. You can do all these things. Am I being critical? Absolutely. Because if I can offend you just a little bit, enough to tick you off just a little, maybe you'll look at the scriptures to try to prove me wrong and you'll see what I'm telling you is right. Amen? All right. Let's move on. I'm off my soapbox. But I'm concerned about your salvation and I want to stay concerned about mine. So let's make sure, brothers and sisters, that we're doing what we're supposed to do. Remain faithful in assembly, Lord's Supper, encouraging each other, and evangelizing. That's another thing that we're in trouble about in the brotherhood. We're not evangelizing anymore. Do you believe that? I can't say that against all their brethren, but nowadays it's all the Joel Osteen stuff, isn't it? I'll try to do better about not trying to impersonate him or imitate him. But isn't that kind of what we're getting out of the pulpits today? That no matter what you do, everything's going to be okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Make your contribution. God will love you for it. It's not what it's about. Now, I know that we are to love each other through the hardships. Sometimes the truth hurts. It hurts me every time I study the Bible. I told Brother Larry a while back, I said, I'm about to quit studying the Bible. He said, well, Jerry, I said, because when I do, all that guilt hits me. Well, thank God it does. Amen. Thank goodness that I'm convicted by the Word of God. That means that as long as a person can still be taught, they can still be saved. Amen? So we've got to make sure of that. Okay. All right. So faithful in evangelizing. Also, and we're getting ready to hear a third point, we'll go. We are to do this. Bear one another's burdens. Does that sound all right? Bear one another's burdens. If I call Brother Russell, and I say, Brother Russell, I need your prayers. You think you ought to pray for me? If I say, absolutely. If you say, hey, Jerry, I need the prayers of the congregation, you don't have to say exactly what for unless you want to. But if you need prayers of the congregation, ask for the prayers of the congregation. I stood up here a bunch of times and said, hey, pray for me as your minister. I want to be a better servant. I want to be a better preacher. I want to be a better friend. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better granddad. I want to do this. You know, I'm selfish. Please pray for me. I think it's worse if we don't ask for the prayers of the congregation. Do y'all agree with that? When we are in that need. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Christ Jesus is the way, brothers and sisters, unto salvation. And I'm so grateful that he tells us in his word just how to do that. The third and final point, this lesson is going to go home with you. I want you to know this. Jesus is the way unto true life. And I'm talking about a life that matters, okay? A life that matters and a life that counts. Let me just break it down better than that. A life that has meaning. Would that be okay? A life that has meaning. Jesus is the way of life because we are saved by his grace. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, down in 1, verse 1, and you he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sin. Thank you, God, for doing just that. I know that I was headed for hell, but you stopped it. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, having been justified by his faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, how do we have that peace that surpasses all understanding? In Christ. Listen, Jesus is the way, brothers and sisters, into eternal life. He is the way, for there is no other way. Ephesians chapter 2, down in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near, how? By the blood of Christ. Jesus is the only way. And knowing that Jesus is the only way, and we know that the truth about that, you and I should make it our, yours and mine together, it should be our chief desire to follow him and to follow Jesus very closely. And as the old song goes, where he leads, anybody know? Y'all did good. Y'all did good. Where he leads, I'll follow. I'm glad y'all said that, because if I'd have started singing it, everybody would have left. But I appreciate what Isaiah said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, down around 21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right, or you turn to the right hand, or whoever you turn to the left. 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should do what? Very good, that we should follow his steps, not mine. Follow his. Why? Because Jesus is the only way. Head over to Psalm very quickly. Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, I love this, listen, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in, go to chapter 5, verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight, the Bible says, before my what? Before my face. Let me go over there with you. Psalm 95. Psalm chapter 95. And let's look at verse 6 and 7 together. Psalm 95, 6 and 7. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, watch this, if you will hear, the Bible says, his voice. Psalm 119, 133. Psalm 119, 133. The scripture says, direct my steps by your what? And let no iniquity, let no sin, let none of this stuff have what? Don't let it have dominion over me. Look what this great psalmist was asking God for. He needed his providential care, didn't he? He needed that. He needed to be enveloped in the love of God. He needed to be enveloped and surrounded by the protection of our Father above. So do you. So do I. Nothing's any different. Jesus is the way, brothers and sisters. And because of that, I choose to follow him. Say that with me. I choose to follow him. I choose life, and that's it. Jesus is the way. He is the new and the living way. people are like, what do you mean he's a new and living way? Oh, that sounds a really, really denominational, really. If we were living under the old law, we'd all be going straight to hell, wouldn't we? Because the law does not give us forgiveness of sin, but the blood of Jesus Christ does. I'm in the new way. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? All right, now, and that's according to Hebrews 10:19. Also Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to hope and peace, according to Philippians chapter 4:4-9. Jesus is the only way to, and I'm going to use this word very boldly, true friendship. We've had people in the past and in our lives that we think are friends, but when the going got tough, where did they go? When my attitude changed and things were going on in my life, that I became more of a negative Nancy, if I may. Not Nancy Johnson, I won't get in trouble for saying that. But when I became a negative Nancy, when I needed you the most, you went another direction. Are y'all, anybody else in here? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Whenever I was down, whenever I was low, Amy, when I needed somebody the most, I don't like his attitude. I don't like the way he's doing. I don't like what he said. I don't like this. And then you just leave me out there in the rain. That's when I need you the most. When things are going perfect, I'm loving you, and I'm glad that you're helping me and we're helping each other. But when I fall down, don't leave me on the ground. Amen. Pick me up. Do what Jesus did. When you're on the ground, I'll pick you up. When we're on the ground, God will pick us up and He will raise us up if we're willing to be that true friend to Him. John 15:14, you are my friend if you do what I command you to do. That's what Jesus is simply saying to us. Is Jesus Christ your friend today? Are you following Jesus Christ? Do you realize and know without a doubt that Jesus is the only way? We have two promises. Actually, let me see them real quick. Hebrews 9:27. The Bible says, it is appointed once for man to die, but after this, you got two promises in one passage, yes or no? First passage is, we are all gonna, don't matter how much Geritol you drink or how much exercise you get, I got good news for all of you. You're gonna die. When's the last you went to the preacher and he said, you're dying? So am I. Thank God I am. And I say that seriously. I'm glad that this flesh is dying. I don't want to do it today, but I'm sure glad that I am, because I can't get there until I leave here. Amen. Now here's the part I got to prepare for. We better be preparing for this death, because after this, the judgment. Are you ready today to meet Jesus Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen? To be judged for the things we've done, whether good or... All right, let's close. Today, if you're not a Christian, you're not a child of God, I beg you to become one in the light of the Scriptures. I gave it to you today from Scripture. Do you agree with that? Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, live a faithful life in the death. Always remember that we are indeed... Maybe today you are a Christian, but you realize, you know what? Difficulties are around me. I got all these things that's come up. I got derailed a little bit, and I need the prayers of the congregation. If you have a need, any need at all, come now as together we stand.